Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. Today we are going to be in the Gospels. Turn to Mark chapter 15. We'll be reading chapters 15 and 16. Encourage you to follow along as I read in your own copy of the scriptures. I will take some devotional pauses, think about some application at the end, and ask you to do the same, and we will close in prayer. Father, thanks for a new day. Thanks for your word. Please help us to pay close attention to every word because every word was breathed out by you. Help me to understand it. Help me to be able to know how to apply it and to honor you with your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, there are times when we do hear him reply. We hear some of his replies in other gospels as well. And yet, this is part of the fulfillment of prophecy that often he was going to remain silent as he suffered and was falsely accused. Verse 6. Now, it was the custom of the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested, a man named Barabbas, who was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked him. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and had him over to be crucified. Again, other gospels give more details, but here kind of gets right to the point of what Jesus went through and the betrayal that was there. And yet God's sovereignty all the way through. Verse 16, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Probably should have also paused earlier when we talked about being flogged. We passed by that so quickly. And yet, it was pretty horrific how much damage that typically would do to the human body. Verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now let him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Again, one of these things we just read quickly and may not realize how significant that is. The curtain of the temple separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. The curtain that symbolized the separation of God from man was now torn. No more separation because of Jesus. Verse 39, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. So this is a reminder of something also we don't read too often in the Gospels, that there were women around who not only were there at the crucifixion, but they were also around to be able to help he and the disciples in their traveling ministry. Verse 42, it was preparation day, that is, the day before Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. Chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said, "you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. All right, so this is, you know, the most amazing event in history, Jesus rising from the dead. And yet, here it was, women come first and they see this and hear this, but they just can't believe it. Well, the last section of Mark has this in brackets. The earliest manuscripts and some of their ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. So what we're about to read is here, and we don't know, you know, because of the manuscripts, you have to do some more study to be able to understand this more. But don't be alarmed. This section does not change anything through the rest of Scripture, and yet you don't want to take anything from this section and make it a new doctrine of any kind either. We could trust God's word, and what we have is God's inspired word. So here we go, continuing in chapter 16 and verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Okay, we have read that in other places. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he has risen. Okay, so we had read something about that before, not as much about a rebuke of their faith, Verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." All right, so that is in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, but doesn't have the phrase "and is baptized." And you have to put that again into context to see that we are saved only by faith, not through baptism. And yet baptism was typically the very first thing you did after true faith to identify with Jesus. Verse 17. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." Many of these things are mentioned in other gospels. And again, cannot be taken as a special doctrine, but to show that there were going to be many miracles performed by those who were first sharing the gospel and writing down the scriptures. Verse 19, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." That's the end of chapter 16. It's the end of the Gospel of Mark. And yes, those things also are in the other Gospels. So what do we take away from Mark chapters 15 and 16? I'm always struck by the death of Jesus, what he went through, the suffering, the mocking, the deception against him, and yet he went through it because that is what God the Father had called him to. He was crucified. He really died. But I try not to spend too much time there before I recognize, as is in the reading today, he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And I think for me, my takeaway today is just a reminder of this truth, that Jesus did die for my sins. He was buried, but he did rise from the dead 3 days later. And because of that, as the rest of Scripture proclaims, I will rise again one day. I will go to heaven to be with God when this short life is over, because I have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. So I go away joyful today. I go away praising God today and worshiping him today because of what Jesus Christ did for me. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. And thank you once again for the reminder, the gift of your son who died for me, who rose again and is with you now. Father, it gives me great hope, guarantee of my future. And I praise you for that. And help me to live in that confidence today. In Jesus' name, amen.